Ecclesiastes chapter 11, and we're starting there in verse 7. And all through this book and reading Ecclesiastes, when you read Ecclesiastes, you see, and I believe Solomon is the one that wrote this book, is my belief in that. And you see in the first part of Ecclesiastes, in the first few chapters where he talks there about that he put his mind to enjoy. He gave his heart everything he desired. And you can take that in parallel with Solomon's life. And you can see where that Solomon did that in his life, and he went after strange women. And he went after these things, and he built his wives. He built places of worship to other gods, his wives, and he went away from the Lord. And you can see that in Ecclesiastes, the walk that he took in these things and experiences that he had. And it's my belief in this. You may disagree, and that's fine. It's my opinion. It's my belief. I'm telling you that so you can do with it what you will, throw it away, whatever. But I believe when he gets down to the middle part of chapter 11 all the way to the end of Ecclesiastes, in my belief, it's in his older years. And it seems like he's looking back, and it's a warning to a lot of us that are growing up to not make those mistakes, to not do those things. As you see here, all the way through Ecclesiastes, he's telling you to, and we talked about this in chapter 11, he talks about charity and your alms and giving to the poor. And those things, we can take it too far and give everything we have and never have anything for ourselves. Never enjoy anything the Lord gave them to us. Or we can go the other way and never give to anyone and always hoarding everything we've got, never enjoy it. So we can go either way, or we enjoy everything so much that we're one of those who don't have anything because we waste it all. So, but all the way through Ecclesiastes up to chapter 11, it tells us that it's good for a man to eat, drink, and enjoy the fruits of his labor. Then we get to chapter 11, and he tells us there to give it all away. Give it away. And I think it's, like we've talked about, it's like a check and a balance system. You need to remember who gave it to you in the first place. The Lord is the one that gave it to you. Okay? Don't take this stuff as what this world's all about. Our material possessions, everything we have is not what this world's about. And that's verses 1 through verse 6 in chapter 11. We get down to verse 7 of chapter 11. He says, and we'll read down to the rest of this chapter. He says, truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness. For they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. And let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day given to us, Lord, and we thank you for the blessings in our lives, and we thank you most of all, Lord, for salvation. Lord, for allowing us to be here tonight to worship you. Thank you for the church you bless us with, Lord, and place us in. Lord, we thank you for your words you've given to us that we can study, we can meditate upon, Lord, and we can draw closer to you, learn more about you, Lord, and we can see your ways and your word, Lord. And just give us hearing ears and seeing eyes tonight, Lord, and help us to allow you to mold and make us what you wish for us to be here tonight, Lord. You be with your words that goes out and pressing upon our hearts, Lord, and help us to not take my word for granted, Lord, but help us to take it home and prove it to our own hearts, Lord, and help us to study it. Lord, you show us what it means, Lord. Just kindly bless in that. Save those here tonight that are lost, Lord, before it's turning too late. Be the prayer request been mentioned tonight, Lord, in men and women's prayer classes, Lord. Just kindly bless there. And just stay and pray and ask these things. Amen. As we look at this and we see, and it almost seems like, I know that the chapter division is whenever they wrote the letters and everything, when they're original written, they didn't put verses and chapters in there. Okay, that was added later. It almost seems like verse 7 of chapter 11 is like the beginning of chapter 12, is what it almost seems like, because he's heading in that direction to where chapter 12 goes. But it says in verse 7, "Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun." Truly the light is sweet. The light of the day, it's a great and wonderful thing for all of us. I mean, I have worked outside at nighttime, and they bring out those big generators, bring out those big old lights, and turn them on, and it lights it up just like the sun. But I'm telling you, it's not like the sun. It may be bright, but it don't do what the sun does. It shines light, and that's all it does. The sun does so much more than that for us. So much more. I at one time worked, and West County Mall, Manchester, down on 270, whatever mall that is, West County Shopping Center, I think. Worked down there doing the roof drains, and worked inside that building for like 6 months, 6-8 months, something like that. And I finally went to the doctor because I was so tired. I could not get enough sleep. My mood had changed. Something was wrong, and I could not figure out what it was. So I need to go. Something's wrong with me. So I made an appointment, went and seen Dr. Fenton, and told him, explained to him what was going on, and he said, "Well, what you're describing is depression, but you don't appear to be depressed. What is going on? Tell me about your day." So I told him, "Well, I get up in the morning, I go to work, I work, I come home, I eat, go to bed. That's my day." He said, "Well, that's not bad. I mean, a lot of people do that and don't get these things going on with you. Where are you working at?" So I told him where I'm working at. It was in the wintertime. And I'm getting up before the sun comes up. I get to work, park in a parking garage as the sun is just topping above the buildings. When I get done with work, I go home and usually the sun is just going down below the buildings. I haven't been in the sun for 6 to 8 months. And he says, "That right there is your problem. That's your problem right there." People that get depressed lock themselves in a room and they get more depressed because they're not out in the sun. The sun provides vitamins that our bodies need to function, keeps us chemically balanced in the brain, if you will. It keeps some things in our bodies. The Lord has the sun that it is sweet to our bodies. It is. I tell you, you think about it. You have a day, you get up in the morning and you look outside and the sun is shining and it just looks beautiful. Even in the wintertime. I mean, it may be freezing cold outside, but it does something to you to look out and see the sun shining, a nice, beautiful day. Then you get up, and it's gloomy, it's raining, it's cold, the wind's blowing. What do you want to do? I want to go back to bed, curl up in that warm bed. I don't want to go out there. You know, I mean, it does something to you. There's something to it. The Lord says here that truly the light is sweet. The light... You ever walked in a room that's, you know, dark? I don't like doing it because you don't know what you're going to step on. Well, what's going to happen? The light is sweet. When the sun is up, it's clear, and you're in a better mood. The Lord has all that set up like that. Not only is the light sweet, it's a pleasant thing for our eyes to behold the sun. I mean, we've already pretty much covered that you know, it does our attitudes better, it does our bodies better, and it helps us motivate, it gets us motivated. You know, it is a great thing the way the Lord has it. He has a light. You know, and I also think here, and just as a, you know, and I understand the Ecclesiastes is written about the flesh, but also I can't help but to think about when I'm reading this, about truly the light is sweet, about the light in our life, about Jesus Christ is sweet. He is wonderful. All that He's done for us, it is just a sweet savor to us in our lives. And when we follow that light in our life, which is Jesus Christ, our lives are sweet. We may go through troubles and trials and tribulations and storms, but we have that light that's shining in our lives. That is sweet. Oh, and it is pleasant to be around and be in His light. Sometimes as we read the Word and we said in messages there that, and the way I've said it before, the way I see it, the Lord is a big spotlight. You know, and as we read and we study, we get closer to the center of that spotlight. And we start seeing more and more things in our lives that we need to make right, that we need to get right. But yet, in all that, it's very pleasant. It's very pleasant to be there. Although we have mistakes, we have problems in our lives, we need to get right. It is a pleasant thing for us to behold the Son of God. You know, I know that's S-U-N here in the Bible, but I can't help but think about that when I read this verse. And how that it's great to be around the Lord and to follow Him and His guidance and leadership. He goes on in verse 8 and he says, "But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all." Oh, you look at this, and the Bible says that obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The first commandment with promise, and may you live long upon the earth. You know, and if you live long, live a long life. But you know, when I read, first thing I thought of when I read this, I thought of a lot of young people that's died. You know, and it seems, maybe it's just me, maybe it's because I'm growing up and I'm hearing more, I'm knowing more people and I'm hearing more about it. But I remember when I was younger, it seemed like the only people that died were those that were older. You know, and y'all are shaking your head, yes, so maybe it's not just me. But it seems like we're getting to a place now that there's a lot of younger people that are dying. And, you know, we need to... It's not so much the case to live long on the earth, but we ought to be able to enjoy the days that we do live. We ought to be able to enjoy them. He says, "But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all." We ought to be able to rejoice in the days that we live. We can all of us in our life. You ever been sitting there in a message, sitting there in the congregation, a past preacher's up preaching, and a thought comes through your mind of an incident that happened in your life a long time ago, and you immediately start blushing? Has that ever happened to anyone else here but me? Sitting there, it doesn't even have anything to do with anything. But it's something you said or something you did, that embarrassing moment, and you immediately start feeling as though that you're unworthy, and your mind gets off the message. You know, and what does that have to do with this? Well, he says later on there that we need to remember the days of darkness, but we don't need to dwell upon them. We need to know, number one, we are unworthy. Every one of us are unworthy. No matter if you don't have any of those days and times in your life you can go to, you are unworthy to be sitting here. You're unworthy to be saved. You're unworthy. Every one of us. But Jesus Christ is worthy. And when God looks upon us, He sees His blood upon us. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, it'd be a great thing to live many years and rejoice in your life, to look back on your life. And I think of Paul in this. He looked back on his life and he says, "I have fought a good fight. I've run the race." You know, look back. And know that you have done what the Lord said to do. He goes on and he says, "Yet let him remember the days of darkness." You know, I prayed about this and I prayed about it. Lord, and I kept going to the Lord saying, "Lord, I don't want to remember those days. I don't want to." You know, I'm just being honest. I don't want to remember them. Because usually when I go back to those days, I'm the one that caused the darkness. Okay, and that's why I don't want to remember them. But then it dawned on me, after every time I went through days of darkness, there has been days of great light. That's why He wants us to remember them. Because in those times that I've messed up, who has helped me? It's been Him. You know, and I was reminded in reading this, I thought of one of my favorite poems is the poem Footprints. Now, y'all remember that, where the guy's walking through the sand, looking at his life, and he looks back on his life, and as he's walking by a beach in the sand, and he says, two sets of footprints. And in those footprints, it's him and Christ walking through there, and he asked the Lord, when I went through the hardest times of my life, there's only one set of footprints. Why'd you leave me? And he says, no, that was me carrying you. And that's what those darkness days remind me of. The Lord carried me through those times. He taught me some things through the darkness in my life. We need to remember Him. Because Paul said, when I am weak, then am I strong. And we're in the darkness times of our life. We're vulnerable. We're weak. And it's in those times that the Lord's power shows through in our life, that His grace and His mercy shows through strong in our lives. We need to remember that it's Him that has got us to where we're at today. It's not by me. You know, Brother Randy goes to the jail service and preaches there at the jail. And if it wasn't by the grace of God, he'd be visiting every one of us. Right there. You know, we're where we're at today because the hand of God has been upon us. That's why we're here. So we need to remember the days of darkness. And he goes on, he says, for they shall be many. There is, isn't there? But as you look back on your life, the things we remember the easiest are those things where we've messed up. I mean, that always comes prevalent to our minds. Those times, they are etched in our minds. But those things we've done, where we've messed up as a child, we can remember the spankings we've got, why we got them. We can remember the ones we were afraid of getting that didn't get. That doesn't mean we need them now. But, you know, but we can remember, because there's many of them. But you think about it. I want you to look at this. He says, but read this verse. I'll read it to you. Listen to it. But if a man live many years, you see that? Years. And rejoice in them all. Rejoice in all the years. He says, yet let him remember the days of darkness. Not the years of darkness. The days of darkness. For they shall be many. That's a blessing to me to know that as we live in the Lord years, we're not going to have years of darkness. We're going to have days. A very small percentage of our life will be through trouble if we follow the Lord. So, and look at that. I think it's great that for they shall be many. There will be many. But in comparison, I tell you, when you start looking at it, you look at the days of darkness in your life that we don't want to look at. But whenever you start looking at the times that you have put yourself in darkness, and then you begin to see the way the Lord worked that out and the things He taught you, the things you've learned because of your mistakes that you've made, and sometimes it's not even mistakes you've made. Sometimes it's just situations that you found yourself in that was out of your control completely. That was a darkness. It don't have to be mistakes, but the lessons you learned, the hard times of your life, you began, instead of looking at the dark things in your life, your attitude changes. And you began to look over here at everything the Lord's done. You started out remembering those dark things, but now what are you doing? You're remembering the blessings of the Lord and how He's worked in your life and the situations He's brought you through, the lessons He's taught you that you would have never seen. You would have never learned if you hadn't been in those situations. I remember, I don't know if I've told y'all or not, I probably have, but I don't remember. When I worked at Ponderosa, they made me day cook. Jim Stenberg, I think was his name, the general manager there, and he was my manager, day manager. He made me day cook, and I would get behind, real behind, all by myself in the kitchen, no help. I was there during the day by myself. And I'd get behind, and Jim would come in there, and he'd help me and say, hey, Paul, look, if you would arrange your meat this way in the freezer, it'll help you. I'm like, okay. So we'd arrange it that way real quick. He would arrange it. He said, leave it that way. Remember it. I don't care how you got to do it. Write it down. Something. Put it in there this way. This will help you. So the next day, I would arrange it that way. And it was a help to me. And it would take me a little bit longer to get behind. But I still get behind. So he'd come up and he'd show me something else, how to arrange something else in the kitchen. And we'd do it that way. And I was writing all this stuff down, putting notes up on there, sticky notes, everything I could to get it done the way he's saying to do it. So I would, because I don't want to get that far behind again. And every time he would do that, I would get less and less behind the next day. Take further and further. Till months later, I was able to handle the kitchen almost all the way through a rush. A day rush. And then I asked him one day, you know, you showed me all this stuff to do, and I had a kitchen set up the way he wanted it set up. You know, the way it needed to be set up to help me through it. He said, why don't you just come in here and just show me how to set it up? You know what he told me? He wouldn't have done it. You weren't ready. And that's the way the Lord does us sometimes. We have to get in a position that we need help, and we know it before we're ready to listen to His directions. And that's what we see in those days of darkness. We see His directions in our lives and His leading. I tell you, because whenever we mess up, we're open to any suggestion the Lord has. We are listening to everything He says with very intent purpose of doing it. You know, you think about it. If we got it under control, we can read it. I got it, Lord. But whenever we messed up and we're in trouble, we're intently looking for an answer. There will be many days, not years, but days of darkness. But we need to remember them and look back on them. He goes on and he says, all that cometh is vanity. All that cometh is vanity. In this life, we have trouble, we have trials, we have good years, we have bad days. One thing we need to keep in mind, this life is not it. This life is not all there is. All that comes is vanity. All that cometh is vanity. It's emptiness. If we're not serving the Lord and following Him, if we're just going day to day to day to day like a goose in a new world, every day. I mean, it's not going to profit us anything. But if we follow the Lord, trust in Him, let Him lead in our lives and follow Him, same thing. This world, this life is going to end one day. Life is going to end. All these things we have are going to burn up one day. All that cometh is emptiness. We're not going to hold on to any of this. We're going to leave it all behind. Verse 9, he says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. I prayed about this verse. I prayed about it because, I'll be honest with you, the reason why I prayed about this verse, I've read it. But when I went back and studied, I've read a chapter, this whole book, a lot. Of course, y'all have done the same thing. When I went back studying this verse, I made a fatal error. I didn't read the whole thing. I made a mistake. I read, and I'll read to you what I read, and I stopped. When I stopped reading, that's where I stopped and started praying and asked the Lord why. He says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. And let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. What? Follow your heart? And I began to pray, Lord, what are you telling me? What is this verse saying? Follow your heart and follow your eyes? You told us in your Bible that the heart is wickedly is evil and wicked. Who can know it? And now you're saying here, follow your heart. And I prayed about that and prayed about that and prayed about that. And I read that part over and over and over again. Never reading the next part. Yeah, silly. But I did. That's what I did. And prayed about it and prayed about it. And the Lord impressed on me, just read the rest of the chapter. Read the rest of the chapter. So I was at work one day, got out my phone, had the Bible on it, looked it up, read the rest of the chapter, thought, oh, okay. Gotcha. I understand now. Yes. We need to rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. We need to rejoice in our youth. We have youth. We have energy. We have vigor. We can go and we can do things. We can do a lot when we're young. I remember working down at Westfield Shopping Center, the mall down there. We had a guy that was working for us down there. He was a big guy. He was like 18 years old, 19 years old. He was big. We were putting in cast iron. And we were putting in 8, 10-inch cast iron, 10-foot links. And this guy could come up and pick up a 10-inch piece of cast iron, weighed about 300 pounds, by himself and walk off with it. An older guy there that could probably do the same thing, and he had in his youth, and it showed. He could not stand up straight anymore very well. And he told him, son, you can do that now, but you just wait. You're going to regret it. There's decisions we can make now in our youth to do because we've got the power and the might in our bodies to do it, but we're going to regret it. And I think that's what he's saying. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. And he goes on, he says, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But don't stop there. But, while you're doing that, but, know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. You make sure your heart is leading you in the right way. You make sure that, I said that wrong. You make sure you're pointing your heart in the right way. Okay? The world says, you know, you're not in control of who you fall in love with. That's a bunch of baloney. You are in charge of who you fall in love with. The Lord said that He, I thought of the verse and now it's gone. I have to paraphrase it. I don't have to anyway. But the Lord commended His love toward us. He put it there. That's what we do with our love to others. We put it there. We need to make sure that while we're living our life, young people here, you make sure that you're doing right. That you're following. Say the Lord has given you parents to instruct you, that you can make mistakes while you're at home. They will nurture you and point you in the right direction. Just as we as older, as adults that are out on our own, married and have children of our own. I tell you, I was a child at one time. That does not mean that I know how to raise children. That doesn't mean that. What that means is I still have a lot of growing up to do. That's the only thing I know to say about it. I was a kid at one time and still am some. Who teaches me how to raise my children? Who shows my wife and I should say, how to raise our children? Well, our parents that we can go to for advice. Have Trisha's parents we can go to for advice. Have all you we can go to for advice. But where do I go to, in all honesty, to find out how to raise my children? Don't take offense at this, none of you. You all have good advice. But that's exactly what it is, advice. The Lord has the way to do it. You know, and the best advice you can give me is show me verses of how to do it. I can go buy books on how to raise someone else's children. But there's no book written on how to raise my children that humans have written except for this book right here. This is the only book that would tell me how to raise my children. It's the only book that would tell me how to be a husband to my wife and a father to my children. And rejoice in our youth. Young people need to be able. And that's what I think he's saying here. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. When you're young, rejoice in what you can do. And make the decisions that you need to make now. So when you get older, you can still rejoice in your youth. When you look back on your life, you're going to see that you've made the right decisions and done the right things. You're not going to be living in regret. You're not going to have the scars in your body of the decision that you've made. I think that's what he's saying here when he says, "Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in thine heart and the sight of thine eyes. Do all those things, but knowing that you're going to pay for anything you do wrong. You're going to stand before the Lord in judgment. Everyone here is going to stand there before the Lord in judgment one day. Nobody's getting out of it. No one. I remember whenever I was lost, there was a lot of times at school and all that I wouldn't study for a test. And they'd have a test and I would be nervous. I would be praying, "Lord, help me to pass this test." But I never done the work to be able to pass the test. Okay? Be praying about it. Taking the test. Trying to remember what the teacher said about this. Didn't hardly do my homework, so I can't really go back to that very much. Pass the test. You know, make a C on it. Which, by the way, for young people, I would have failed it in this school. Because that's below an 80. So, but make a C and happy as I can be. I remember thinking this whenever I was lost, that that's what's going to happen to me. You're like, "What do you mean?" I was hoping and I was praying that when I died, now remember I was lost, when I get to heaven, I would have passed the test. That I would be allowed in. So, but the Lord used some circumstances on me and some verses and some messages to show me that that's not going to be happening. We're all going to stand before judgment, and we're going to stand and answer to those things we've done. When you were young and when you were old. That's what we're going to do. We need to know that. Verse 10, he says, "Therefore," because of verse 9, "Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity." Think about it. And that's what he's saying here, what we pretty much just covered. Verse 9, he says, talking to a young person, enjoy your youth. Live. Well, follow your desires. And he goes on and he says, but make sure your desires are following the Lord. Because you're going to stand before judgment. And the way to rejoice your youth when you get older is to remove sorrow from thy heart. And the way to do that is to put away evil from your flesh right now. You can't wait until you're older to do that. You have to do that now. I remember when I was younger that I remember when I was 12 that I couldn't wait. We lived in Louisiana then. And I couldn't wait till I was 15. I said, "Well, why 15? Can I get my driver's license at 15? And I got my driver's license at 15. I didn't feel a whole lot different, really. Except for I had something in my pocket that said I had a driver's license. That I could drive. I remember I couldn't wait till I was 18. Why? I don't know. You're supposed to be 18. I don't know. Didn't feel any different when I turned 18. And always wishing for years and ahead. Now I'm 36. Y'all looking younger and younger. Hey, you know. Now sometimes it's turning around the other way. You know, as you get older, you begin to almost wish you're younger again. To be able to do those things that you didn't do when you were young. Be able to have that energy. You know. We don't want to grow up and have sorrow in our lives. Remove that sorrow right now. Remove that future sorrow from your life now by doing right right now. That's the only way that you can do that. He goes on, he says, "For childhood and youth are vanity." Tell you, I was going to college up here at St. Charles Community College. Wanted a full-time job. I was working at Ponderosa. I was trying to grow up and spread my wings and wanted something more, a job more adult. if you will. I'm not saying people work. I'm just saying that I've worked in restaurants all my life, and I wanted to grow out of that. But I wanted to get out of that. I wanted to get a job. You know, and so I applied at UPS, their school. Went in and had a interview with them. First interview went really good. Second interview went real good. They brought me back in for the third interview, the final interview to get the job. It was a good paying job. And they asked me, said, "You have a good memory?" "Oh, I got a real good memory. I can remember things. Remember, you know, phone numbers. Can you remember zip codes?" "Oh, I can remember zip codes, I guess. I've never tried. But if I can tell you about every phone number I've had. When we moved around, I remember the phone numbers and the addresses and all that." And okay. And went on the interview and went real good. Because I have to remember zip codes and trucks and all that kind of stuff on this job. And she said, "How old are you?" "18. No, 22. I did not get the job. But you think about it. Childhood and youth are vanity. They're empty. They go by bang, 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 bang so fast. I remember as a kid that Mom and Dad would tell me, they'd say, "You can go over to a neighbor's house, you can play with them for 30 minutes. All right, cool. That's a long time. 30 minutes, that's a long time. Now, 30 minutes, you know, my breaks are 30 minutes. They're not long enough. You know, I mean, 30 minutes is nothing anymore. You know, weeks come and go in a heartbeat. You know, and before, it would take so long for a week to go by. The older we get, the quicker time seems to go. Childhood and youth are vanity. They go so fast. You're only young one time. You young people that are here, listen, you're only your age one time. You're only young one time." And I think what he's saying here, make the best of it. And it's not the way the world says make the best of it. The world says make the best of it by sow all your wild oats. No, don't do that. Don't listen to the world. Make the best of your youth by following what the Lord says to do. Do what He says. Make the right decisions. Follow Him. Keep your life pure in the Lord Jesus Christ. You do that, and when you get to the end of your life and you look back, when you get older and you look back on your young life, you won't have sorrow following you. You'll have rejoicing in your youth in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say this in closing, where that begins is in trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. It begins in that, in your youth, to trust in Him. He came and He died on the cross that you could be saved. He paid your debt of sin, is what He'd done. If you're here today and you're older and you have not accepted the Lord as your Savior, it's not too late. It's not too late to accept Him. I'm not saying that only the youth can be saved. Anyone that's lost can be saved. Because the Lord said, "Whosoever will." In John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall have everlasting life." Whosoever, if you're here today and you're lost, believe, trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will save you. He said in John, I think it's John chapter 10, somewhere around in there, that He said, "And anyone who comes to Him, He will in no wise cast out." You come to the Lord Jesus Christ as a sinner, deserving to go to hell. Don't dress yourself up. You come to Him as you are. And I promise you, that promise, He said, "I will in no wise cast you away. I will not cast you away." He says He'll save you. Lord willing, this has been a blessing to you and a help. Thank you very much.